Amen. Well, it's wonderful to be here tonight. Amen. So good to see all of you. Appreciate Brother Brim and you wonderful folks right here. Appreciate the blessing that you are to us, not only while we're here, but other times as well. You've been such a blessing and a help to us along the way. It's good to see Brother Gallagher. Welcome him as a returning resident. Is that how it is? I don't know how the proper terminology would be, but it's good to see you here tonight. Appreciate you, Brother Gallagher. Amen. Appreciate all of you. And it's good to see Brother Roger Burks. I'll tell you what, I like this. Amen. Saw a Texas tag on the parking lot today. Amen. But I appreciate this opportunity to be here and just appreciate the faithfulness of the Lord and His goodness. And I just, Brother Brim so graciously talking about us not being here for family camp, and it's certainly not that we wouldn't like to be. Amen. Bury the hatchet? Is that what we need to do? I don't know. No, amen. But I just, it's one of those times when I have to have to follow through with what the Lord spoke to my heart years ago. He called me to leave some of the most precious folks that there ever were. Mount Vernon, Texas. Began traveling, doing missionary work that the Lord called us to do. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you leave here, they'll be able to get somebody else. Lord, provide them somebody. Where I need you to go, there's not somebody standing in line waiting to be. I don't doubt a bit that y'all have one of the best camp meetings you've ever had. I don't know who it'll be beside me. You know, I won't be there, but y'all have a wonderful one. I don't doubt that a bit. If I'm not there in North Dakota, there's not going to be anybody there knocking on their door saying, I'll be there. Martins can't come out. And so, do you understand? It's not that we don't love y'all. But when I'm pulled between one or the other, and that was the only week that would work out for that opportunity there, I tell you what, those souls are precious. I expect to reach some more of them by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. Thank you again for the accommodations. Thank you for letting us park here. It's been such a blessing. Our kids have enjoyed playing with some of the school kids and had a good time that way. And Brother Joe Dykman been a help to us on some things we need help with, so I appreciate that, and appreciate the faithfulness of the Lord. Thank you for your encouragement, your help along the way, the financial, the offerings that you support you've given us along the way. We appreciate it. I'll be sharing here today. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, begin at verse number 1. Praise God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the gospel tonight, aren't you? Aren't you glad for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The good news. Amen. One of my favorite things to do if I'm on the telephone doing conversation with somebody, business, whatever, taking care of things. And as they most usually they'll say, well, is there anything else I can do for you? I say, well, I'd like to tell you the best news you'll ever hear about Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins. Amen. And rose again so you could be saved. Praise God. I tell you what, that's good news. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm thankful for this good news tonight. Amen. It's a good news. Amen. And so, Lord, pray the Lord will help me tonight as I share with you. Amen. Just another time to tell you the good news. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of being here. Thank you, Lord, for the Brims. I pray, Lord, even right now that you'd bless Sister Ruthie Brim, Lord, as she ministers there at the ladies' retreat. Lord, we ask you to anoint her and prepare the hearts of all the ladies that are there to receive the truth of your word, Lord. And I pray that everywhere where Christ is being preached tonight, Lord, and souls are being reached, I pray, Lord, that the effectiveness, Lord, would bring honor and glory to the living Lord that we serve and worship tonight. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. The good news. Praise God. I'll tell you what, the gospel is, first of all, a good news of forgiveness. Amen. The Bible says here, amen, that Christ died for our sins. Praise God. Christ died for our sins. Oh, I'll tell you what. I know there were some that walked by the cross where Jesus was hanging. Amen. Many that were walking by, as well as the thieves themselves. Amen. The scripture says they spoke to him and said, save thyself and come down from the cross. My friend, the only way he could save us is to stay on that cross and have to be taken down by somebody else. But thanks be unto God tonight, amen, that Christ died for our sins. I'm telling you, amen, he had to go all the way unto the point of death. Amen. Even I love songs that talk about the power of the blood. Amen. The preciousness of the blood. Don't you like songs about the blood of Jesus? I'm thankful for that precious blood. But my friend, amen, I feel like I just need to say this tonight. Amen. Though I understand and appreciate the preciousness of the blood of Jesus, it took more than just a drop to save us. Because if all it would have taken was a drop of the blood of Jesus to save us, there would have been no need for Calvary. He wouldn't have had to die. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood back in the garden. But he had to pay the full penalty of your sins and my sin, and the wages of sin is death. Amen. Yes, it was precious blood. I don't deny the preciousness of the blood of Jesus. But I want to tell you what, it took him pouring it all out. I mean, it had to all be shed. Amen. Even when they pierced him. Amen. Under his side. Amen. Forthwith there sprang out blood and water. Amen. That fountain was opened in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he did not save himself, he could save us. Praise God. Because he did not rescue himself, he could rescue me, brother. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for that glorious news. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm saying it's good news of forgiveness. Good news of forgiveness. Amen. This last August, we were in, after camp, we were with y'all. I went back to Alaska again, and there in one of those little villages that we'd never been to before, little village of Ambler, Alaska, little Eskimo village, had to fly in there. Amen. No roads into there, and that's the way it is with almost all the Eskimo villages. But But anyway, flew into Little Ambler, Alaska, first time to ever be there. Amen. They had no pastor, have a church building, but no pastor. And so I was excited to go. Usually every trip we go, we try to make contact with another village that we've never been to before, as well as some that we have been to previously. And so I was excited, you know, it was something brand new. Didn't know anybody there, didn't know anything, where we're going to stay, what we're going to face, didn't know anything. And so went to the, so they picked us up at the little airport, and it's airstrip, I should say, no airport, just little, gravel to land on. But anyway, they took us, and so they said, well, what do you want to do? And said, well, we had Joseph and Jamin with us, and so it said, well, we'll announce for kids service at 6, and then 7:30 we'll have evangelistic service, and for announce for anybody and everybody wants to come. And so at 6 for the kids, had 25 or 30 kids showed up, and they were excited about having, you know, anything different, you know, anything going on, puppets and stuff like that. A lot of them had never seen puppets, live puppets. They've seen it on TV and stuff, but they've never seen anything, you know. And so they were excited about that, and had a good turnout and a good response. And then for the evening service, 3 adults showed up, a few children. This village, about 175 people, you know, scattered around in the little village there. And so I'd mingled with them, you know, before services. They came in talking with them, and they all, those 3 adults, had their Bibles. They were excited about being able to have church and somebody to come and preach to them. And they were excited about that. But I knew God had put in my heart to preach a message on salvation. I said, Lord, you know what you're telling me to preach. You know, these here claim to be saved, have their Bibles, but we sang, and still I just felt this is what you need to preach. And so I got up, Brother Gallagher, and did what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. I just started preaching about God's love and provision of salvation and how He could change our lives and make us different. And I got about 10 minutes into the message, and then the back door opened. In walked a teenage girl. She came and walked down the aisle and sat on the second row there. It sat there just a brief moment and just burst into tears, just gushing. She put her head down, tried to compose herself, tried to wipe her tears, and raised her head back up at me and looked at me. But just about the time she looked at me, she just burst into tears again. You know, anyway. God was so dealing with her heart. And oh, it was, I knew then why I was preaching on salvation. I gave the altar call, and she did not hesitate a moment, but she came and up to the edge of the platform and had a couple of steps that went all the way across, and she knelt there, and I've never heard a more intense, agonizing human voice in all of my life. I've been to the scene of accidents, and I've heard some pretty serious, intense cries, but I'd never have heard a cry like that girl was crying. And she said, oh God, please have mercy on me. Please help me. I mean, for almost 30 minutes, just pouring out her heart. I mean, just agonizing for help. After about 30 minutes, she turned around and sat down where she had been kneeling. And I just glanced as we'd been kneeling there beside her. And I glanced down and saw that one of her shoelaces was missing. And I just dismissed it from my mind, because usually, especially in those Eskimo villages, remote villages, that they just make do with what they've got. And so I didn't think a lot more about it until later. But anyway, I looked at her and I said, what do you believe God's done for you here tonight? She very timidly and shyly looked over at me, and she said, well, I'm really not sure. I said, well, what did you ask God to do for you? She said, I asked God to please forgive me of all of my sins. I said, well, 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. I hadn't mentioned that verse, obviously, in the message. And that was, boy, just the way the scripture put it, you know. I said, well, let me just share. I think it was D.L. Moody said, in that verse, I have a part and God has a part. If I do my part, God will do His part. I'll confess Him. He'll forsake and He'll cleanse us. Amen. Forgive us and cleanse us. And so He said, I said, if you confess your sins, I said, if you'll confess them to God, amen, He'll forgive you. The Bible says He will. Praise God. And boy, I tell you what, she put her head down and she began to pray again. Amen. But this time with a renewed faith. I mean, she was desperate before. She felt the guilt and the shame. But now through the Word of God, amen, faith got a hold of the fact that if I'll confess it, He said that He would forgive me. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. Boy, she knew then He had done what He said He'd do. And she was grateful. And I looked at her, I said, now wait a minute. I said, I don't often do this, but I said, I feel compelled to encourage you to do one more thing. I said, you know how grateful you are that God is willing to forgive you? Oh, yes, praise God. I said, now, will you be willing to forgive whoever for whatever? That girl looked away from me, looked over like where the wall meets the ceiling. But I'm sure that wasn't just what she was concentrating on. Well, if you knew what goes on in those remote villages, it's just heartbreaking. But she looked away for a while, and then she swung her eyes back and met mine, and she sort of set her jaw. You know, you could just sort of see a look of resolution come across her face. She said, yes, I choose to forgive whoever for whatever. Praise God. I tell you what, we prayed again, and boy, the victory came then. Praise God. I'm telling you, she was so happy. She was so grateful. And after we talked a little while and shared some more scriptures, she got up and walked toward the back. And then one of the fellows came and walked up to me that was one of the three men, the three adults. There were two men and one lady there, the adults. But one of the fellows walked up to me. He said, Brother Martin, he said, I know you have no way of knowing this. But he said, I'm the daddy. And that's my 19-year-old girl. He said, I stopped her this afternoon from ending her own life. He said she had her shoelace and a rope and ran into her room and was planning to end her life, hollering out to her sister, you can have all the stuff. I don't need it anymore. You have everything I got. He said, I burst through the door. He said, I got her. And he said, by what mercy? In a village where we hardly ever have services, even. But on a Monday night, we're having church. And I can tell my girl that feels so desperate, like her life's not worth living. Come on to church tonight. They're having church down there. Amen. And she hears the gospel. You talk about the gospel of forgiveness. The good news. Hallelujah to God. No matter how guilty and how ashamed you feel and how hopeless your life may feel, thank God for the good news that Jesus' blood makes it possible that I can be forgiven of all my sins. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. Christ died for our sins. Hallelujah. He died. Thank God that we could experience the good news of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Glory to God. I'm going to hurry on. Amen. This gospel is a good news. I tell you what, when you get to thinking about, amen, He rose again. The scripture says He rose again the third day. Praise God. Ah, hallelujah to God. Amen. What's the blessing of that? Oh, I tell you what, it's good news. Not just of the history of what happened, amen, back there 2,000 and something years ago. Thank God. But it spells the good news of forgiveness. But it also indicates a good news of freedom. Praise God. Amen. Jesus was no longer entombed. He was no longer held captive. He could not be held captive. He could not be holding with the chains of death. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, Jesus came to deliver us from, amen, the fear of death. His resurrection, amen, assures us of freedom from the fear of death. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, or 2, excuse me. My mother died just about a month ago. And I remember sitting at the foot of her bed about 2 days before she passed away, reading the scriptures of 1 Corinthians 15, Hebrews chapter 2. Hallelujah. Oh, let me just read Hebrews 2 there for you again. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise God. Oh, I want to tell you, friend, tonight, amen, my mama, she knew what was going on in her body. She knew she was getting close. When we moved her out of the hospital, amen, they told her the only way they'll admit you to that hospice center is if the doctor says you've got from 2 to 7 days at the most to live, amen. But never one word of anxiety, amen, but just that calm, settled peace. God had given her a scripture and said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Praise God. Amen. And she'd always say, I'm just trying to be patient. Amen. I know he's coming for me. He told me to wait for him. Praise God. Amen. Oh, my brother and sister, let me tell you. Amen. We were standing around her bed. Amen. The nurses had told us as it got right there at the end, they told us, said, it's just a matter of just a little while. We'd been singing songs and talking to her and different things, and she, you know, wasn't able to respond back to us. Amen. But right at, boy, I tell you what, we were standing around her bed singing, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. We'd sung 2 verses and 2 choruses, and we're getting ready to start on the 3rd verse. And all of a sudden, Mama opened her eyes. Amen. She was laying on her side like this, and she opened her eyes wide. I mean, wider than we'd seen in days and days, when she was awake and more alert. But boy, she opened her eyes wide. Daddy said she was looking at me, but she was looking past me. Praise God. Amen. She raised up off her pillow and as if she was reaching out for someone and fell back. And I'm telling you what, I've never had any experience like it in all my life. Amen. I mean, we'd shed plenty of buckets of tears already. Amen. But I want to tell you what, when that moment came and the Holy Ghost, amen, came and her spirit went back to God that gave it, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell in that hospice center room. Amen. There was shouting, speaking in tongues. Amen. I know there was grief in a sense. Amen, but I never felt anything like the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It made me think of the scripture, amen, that said, amen, where Balaam said it, amen, but he said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. Amen. I said, I want to go the way Mama went, with her hand in the nail-scarred hand. Amen. She was free from the fear of death. There was no anxiety. There was no fear. There was no tension. Praise God. Amen. I'm not saying I don't know how, whatever may happen. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's nothing like, amen. My daddy had always been concerned because he's had a lot of asthma and emphysema and a lot of stuff. Never smoked a day in his life, but he's had a lot of trouble with breathing. and mom's lymphoma was all around her neck, just big knots all around under skin and so forth. And my dad was, I mean, just over and over prayed, said, God, don't let her strangle to death. Don't let her. He said, I know what it's like to grasp and gasp for breath. He said, please, don't let her. Oh, I tell you what, there was not a struggle a bit. Amen. As soon as she passed away, he laid his hand up there and there wasn't a knot one. Praise God. I'm telling you what, amen, there's nothing like, amen, knowing that Jesus is alive. Amen. You see him on the third day. Amen. Just 3 days ago. How long does it take a wound to heal? Amen. Especially wounds like Jesus got. Amen. But after only 3 days, he comes back, and the only way they know he's been through anything is he has to show them his hands and his side. He has to show them, amen, some proof. Amen. Praise God. I want to tell you what, that's what transformed the disciples. Amen. One of the greatest arguments to believe that Jesus is indeed alive today is the moral transformation in the lives of his disciples who were so fearful for their lives. Amen. But after that, they saw Jesus alive. Instead of cowering in fear in that upper room, they were out on the streets saying, he is alive. We've seen him. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm telling you, there's a lot of people. And we met lots of them in the hospital and hospice center and different ones. Amen. But I'll tell you what, not everybody has that peace. But I'll tell you, those that don't have a reason for peace is those that don't have the Prince of Peace living inside of their hearts. But if you know Jesus tonight, amen, the resurrection assures you, you can be free, praise God, from the fear of death. That's good news. That's good news. Freedom from the power of sin. Glory to God. Freedom from the power of sin. As we normally do in our family devotions, we memorize some scripture. And the last day, my mom was coherent. We were sitting around her bed. Came to the next section of scripture, next verse we were learning. Last words I ever heard my mama say, except for I love you, just a few times, and she'd come to and she'd look at daddy or one of us kids and say, I love you. Last words I heard her say was when she was memorizing this verse with us, and she quoted it when we went around. We all memorize it, and then everybody has to say it individually, you know, to make sure everybody got it. And she was right there with it. Romans 6:8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Praise God. Amen. I know there in Romans 6:8, it's talking about not just physical death and the resurrection that's coming. Amen. Although it has, you know, there's that connection. But it's talking about our victory over sin. Our victory and the power to overcome sin, that if we be dead with Christ, if we accept the sentence of death, amen, and we repent of our sins, we admit it, that we are the ones that deserve to hang on that cross, but thank God we can live with him. Christ can live in us, praise God, and give us power to be overcomers. Oh, I'll tell you what, amen, I'll tell you what, there is nothing like the power of deliverance and the power to freedom of sin. You know, let me just back up long enough to say I ran across this and studying. Amen. A little epitaph on a tombstone. Down in Wetumpka, Alabama. That's where they say this is. I haven't seen it, but that's where I read that it was. You ever heard of Solomon Pease? That was this guy's name. His name was Solomon Pease. And on his epitaph, he has this written. Pease is not here, only the pod. Pease shelled out and went home to God. Woo! Amen. Well, I tell you what, my name's not Solomon Pease, but that work. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I tell you what, good news. We've got good news. We got good news. Amen. It's good news of forgiveness. It's good news of freedom. But it's also good news of fellowship. Amen. The Bible says here, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. I mean, you know what? Jesus didn't leave that tomb and then just disappear and nobody ever see him. Amen. But he left the grave clothes there. Amen. To say, listen, I'm not just some mummy jumping around somewhere. Amen. I'm available. Amen. I'm looking for somebody to talk to. I'm looking for somebody to fellowship with. I'm looking for somebody to reveal myself to. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you tonight. Amen. This Jesus that I'm talking about, that's why he can show up out in the woods. Amen. With a fella covered up with yellow jackets. And yes, I've been stung with those yellow jackets. I'll tell you I have. Amen. But that's why he can show up. Amen. Why is it? Amen. It's because he is alive and he's searching. Amen. For those that he can have fellowship with. Oh, praise God. There's a lot of lonely people in this old world. Amen. There's a lot of people that sit on church pews even that wonder why. Amen. I feel so lonely. And I'm not here to argue. Point. I'm just here to try to tell you that there's a living Savior that says, I'd like to reveal myself to you. I'd like to spend time with you. Hallelujah. This is, boy, I remember that old song. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share while we tarry there, none other has ever known. I want to tell you what, there is no greater experience in all of life, glory to God, than to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'm glad I learned that as just a boy. Amen. Just a young boy. Amen. I'm glad I found out that when I was kneeling on my knees beside my bed in prayer, I could have the greatest thrills, amen, that a man could ever experience. The fellowship in his presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you tonight, amen, this Jesus wants to walk with you. He wants to be real to you. He wants to reveal himself. Amen. You may be walking along sad tonight. Amen. This same Jesus that found those two on the road to Emmaus, amen, can find you tonight. Glory to God. And you can experience his fellowship. Oh, thank God. And through the power of the Holy Ghost, amen. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus can be real to you tonight. I'm talking about good news. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Because that's how Jesus is made real in our lives. And I want that more than ever before. I feel the urgency in these last days that we're living in, saints. Amen. To be walking in fellowship with God. Amen. I feel the urgency to encourage, amen, my family and each one of you. Don't neglect, amen, that daily walk with God. Don't neglect that daily prayer. Don't neglect that daily time in his word. Amen. Don't let anything crowd out, amen, the preciousness of that fellowship. Oh, glory to God. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Good news. Good news. Good news of forgiveness. Good news of freedom. Good news of fellowship. Amen. God's got so much more for you. I covet your prayers. Lord willing, when I pick up my precious wife and daughters up in Carlinville tomorrow afternoon, we're headed to Canada to some Indian reserves and Six Nation tribe up there, Six Nations group up there. And we covet your prayers for God's holy anointing to rest upon us and to use us, amen, on those Indian reserves and to see the power of God, amen, break through in a special way. Praise God. Hallelujah. But thank you for your prayers. But I want to encourage you tonight, amen, because he's alive. Amen. He can forgive you because he's alive. Amen. He can set you free from anything. No matter what it is, amen, whether it's a sin, whether it's a weight, whether it's a worry, a problem, whatever it is, amen, there's freedom for you because Jesus is no longer held captive in that tomb. Yeah. Glory to God. He assures you that because I live, you can live also. And it's his will that we have life and have it more abundantly.